God's grace, mercy, and peace to us as we walk together by His Spirit and we walk strengthened by Jesus' promises. Amen. We are, this Lenten season, going through a series looking at the chapter 5 of Galatians. And in particular, we're focusing in on this idea of the fruit of the Spirit. I'm trying to have a balance of where we do mostly the fruits on Sunday. I said plural. I owe myself a quarter. The fruit on Sunday morning, and then we're talking about the works of the flesh and how we overcome that during our Wednesday messages. So looking forward to that along with you. But we want to read again from Galatians chapter 5. So I want to read verse 22 for you, where today we will focus. In fact, since this is relatively short, maybe you'd read it along with me, these two fragments of verses. First from verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. And now we jump to 23. Against such things there is no law. So that's what we're going to focus in on, this idea that God has given us these gifts and this fruit from the Holy Spirit. A quick reminder, as we talked about last week, it is fruit, singular, not fruits. You know, you may go to the grocery store and get apples and pears, but think of it more as varieties of apples, right, or varieties of pears. It's one fruit. You and I, we do the works of the flesh, and we do them individually, but the Spirit is the one who works these fruit inside of us. It's His life, His expression flowing out of us, coming out as love or peace, or as we're going to focus today, on joy. And so joy is that focus, and I tried to get at that just a little bit with our song. Maybe you remember some Christian camp songs or whatnot, but I just want to ask you this morning if you're feeling happy, right? We've got stock markets going down and people worried about retirement funds. We have COVID-19 happening. They canceled South by Southwest, and now LeBron James is saying if the fans aren't in the stands, he's not going to play, right? Are there some reasons for being unhappy in the world? I suppose so. And they're stopping to have my favorite Bluebell ice cream too, the extreme cookie dough with three different kinds of cookie dough in there. It's a limited time thing. You know, there's a lot of reasons not to be happy. And I don't know if you remember this little song that we had as kids. If you're happy and you know it, right? Clap your hands. It says, if you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. Our little friend here on the slides, not so happy. And the truth is, I'm aware when we gather this many people together, we're not all happy. And I'm so grateful Jesus is a realist about that. But as we think about this, we want to talk about the difference between happiness and joy. Because there are people in this room that go, I lost my job. I lost my brother. I lost my father. I lost my spouse. I lost my marriage. I'm losing my health. I'm so concerned. There are lots and lots of reasons for us to not be happy. And Jesus even talked about those in today's gospel reading. We're going to get at that. But I want you to hear this scripture, this difference between the idea of happiness and joy. David, who had lost a lot of innocence and a lot of standing because of his sin, his work of the flesh, which included adultery and lying and murder right there from our list, his struggle was this loss of innocence, this sense of shame and guilt that he felt because of his sin. And so when he felt that, he wrote and said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." I could probably do a whole sermon just on the your salvation that's there. That means not my own circumstances. It's not my salvation. Somehow, some way, I did something. But the gift you've given to me of grace and forgiveness, give me the joy again of that. Let that be what I delight in instead of the works of the flesh that he had been delighting in. Grant me that willing spirit to sustain me, to keep me going. It's almost as if David is saying, how am I going to make it through all of these burdens, through all these sad things, through all these real circumstances? I know, instead of just feeling hurting, I'm going to pray. And that's when he wrote this beautiful psalm. It said, and I want to remind you again from today's reading in 1 Peter, that you and I are going to suffer all kinds of trials, suffer grief. And I mentioned before some of what those might be. But think back to the works of the flesh that Paul said. He wrote in Galatians 5, 19 to 21, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, envy, drunkenness, and the like. And he's just going on and on. And it's as if we think, whether we're the ones who have been the doers of those works of flesh, or we're kind of inheriting the secondhand sinful smoke of them, either way, here's the result. Living in a world full of people doing those works of the flesh, doing those sinful actions, leads to this growth, this preponderance of shame and guilt. Addiction is at some of its highest level. Suicide among healthy adults is at its highest level that they've tracked before because of the despair that's there, these many trials, this piercing of griefs. It's odd that in this most connected society we've ever had, where we can FaceTime and you know, a pocket dial and do all the things we could do to be in touch with people, the levels of loneliness and depression are higher than they've ever been. We're disconnected. And it is part of the trials that we live in, this world full of the effects of these works of the flesh. And so that's why it's so important for us, this realism that Jesus has, when he says, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when we're suffering all these trials. Don't be surprised that the world's actually rejoicing and they're having a great time, or they're trying to convince themselves they're having a great time. When Jesus said, instead, you will grieve. Just to hear it from John 16, verse 12, he's describing, again, with realism, that it's more than we can bear, Jesus said. Did you hear it? And truly, I say to you, you're going to weep and mourn. You will grieve. Now is the time of your grief. We are there sometimes, right? We're struggling. We feel that Jesus is saying, don't be surprised. But you know what? That's not his last word. He has more to say, more to encourage us with. And I want to suggest to you that in today's message and in our focus here in Galatians 5, that what we can do in the midst of this world where Jesus is very realistic and we can be realistic about the struggles, is that we can be dependent on the Holy Spirit. That's the gift Jesus told us to be dependent on. And he has a role in each of our readings today. In John 16, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to guide you into all truth. Yes, he'll be realistic with you about the struggles and the difficulties. He'll even love you enough to warn you and give you my words again that these works of the flesh will be harmful to you. But he'll guide you into the greater truth that I have overcome the world by my death on the cross. That I offer you a love that's stronger than the grip of sin. That I offer you forgiveness that breaks you free from sin, from shame and guilt, and the Spirit is the one who's going to guide us in that. We listen to the GPS on our phones guiding us to a new restaurant or a new city or someone's new house. How much more would we benefit from listening to the guidance and the encouragement and the course correction that the Holy Spirit can give us? In 1 Peter chapter 1, it described there, it's kind of tucked at the end, but that the prophets were guided by the Spirit. They were the ones that said, here, tell the people about the Messiah and what he'll be like. Tell them how he's going to come and how he's going to set things right. Tell them how he'll bring freedom and hope. And the Spirit guided those prophets and even filled and empowered those who preach and share the gospel with us. This is a part of the role of the Spirit. And also, even in our Old Testament reading, part of what the Spirit does to us is restore our joy. Restore us to God, right? Bring us back to him. Cast me not from your presence, O Lord, or take your Holy Spirit from me. He's restoring to us that joy. That despite the diagnosis, despite the divorce decree, despite the fearfulness that's going on in the world around us, or maybe even very, very close to home, in our own homes, God can give us this joy and strength of his gift of salvation, meaning I have something to take you above and through and even out of this world. As we read on in there, we read of a God who would welcome us when we come with a broken or a humble heart. He says again that he always welcomes and always restores us. I love how David puts it. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you will never despise. When we're in touch with the unhappiness, when we have the fearfulness of what's going on and we choose to come closer to God rather than move farther away, then we experience that joy. It's as simple as this prayer. You're hurting, something's going on in your life, and you can choose to say, oh God, that hurts. Or you can say, God, these things in the world, it hurts, and come closer to him. It's all how we choose to orient with the Spirit's help when we are facing those painful times, whether we will find that peace and that joy or not. And the promise of God, of course, is that everlasting joy is waiting. That it is, as Jesus said, for a little while you will have these griefs. For a little while you will go through these trials and difficulties. But just as the birth pangs a woman goes through in bringing a child into the world, those pains go away and are eclipsed by the joy of new life. God says to us that we have that new life waiting for us. That for all of its trials, for all of its difficulty of this life, this is just chapter one. This is just the beginning. I love how 1 Peter puts it. You haven't seen Jesus, but you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You believe he's the answer to all the struggles and all the hurts and all the brokenness. And because you believe in him, you're filled with an inexpressible joy, a joy that can't be taken away from us. So that's why we're invited here this Lenten season, to depend on, to seek, and to rejoice through the Holy Spirit. That's because he reminds us that this is just chapter one. I did a little song in the children's message. Maybe you can try a little song with me that helps us remember that joy and remember this is just chapter one and the rest, the best of the story is yet to come. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. So let us this day have joy and hope because it's his gift offered to us by his Spirit. Amen.